All right, my name is Dexter Edwards. It is Tuesday, September the 7th, 2021, and I would like to call this meeting to order. The first place of business, I would like to ask Commissioner Branch if he would give us an invocation and lead us in pledge of allegiance. Please stand.
Let us pray. Dear wise and precious God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together one more time. Lord, I ask for a special prayer, special consideration for the passing and the family of Mr. Joshua Smith. Lord, we never know why things happen sometimes the way that they do, but we know that you are a God that knows it all. I ask for special comfort and special strength for the family and friends of Mr. Smith. Lord, give them what they need to carry on and endure such a terrible loss. Continue to give them all the strength to be everything that, Lord, you have in store for them to be. Now, God, I ask that you bring all minds and hearts on one accord as we work diligently to take care of the business for the citizens of this great county of Duplin. Father, help us to set aside all petty differences and allow us to come to an understanding that we're here to do things in honor of you, God, providing guidance, providing understanding, and doing the things that's necessary to bring about a resolve that supports love for our fellow man. Lord, continue to guide us and keep us and prop us up on every leaning side. Father, as we face things that we don't understand, give us the courage to endure them all as one collective unit. God, continue to strengthen us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your love. For it's the mighty and precious name of Jesus that I do pray. Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, have anything to add to the agenda for tonight? Mr. Branson?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if it pleases the board, I would like to respectfully request that you add an amendment to the billing services agreement between EMS Management and Consultants, Inc. and the Duplin County EMS to the consent agenda. This is needed as a result of North Carolina Medicaid managed care transformation, and they're changing the way they reimburse the county. Mr. McMahon, Ms. Chestnut, and myself have reviewed this with the company, and we're all in agreement this is to the county's advantage. I would ask that that be added to the consent agenda.
Okay, do I have a motion? Got a motion and a second to accept the agenda with that add. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay, I need an approval of the minutes of August 16th meeting.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the consent agenda. Got a motion to second. Any comments?
One question.
Yes.
The flood buyout property lease and maintenance agreement. I didn't see that in the package. Did I overlook it? And which property is that?
It's the park in the northeast community okay. That is operated by the Ruerton Club.
Okay.
Commissioner Carr.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Carry. All right, we have a public comment section next. Each person is allowed 3 minutes. I would like for the clerk to call up each individual that signed up, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, your first speaker in public comment tonight will be Ms. Samantha Kennedy.
Thank you for your time this evening. I'm here this evening to share some thoughts regarding the recent bonus essential workers received for their time during the pandemic. As an employee of Duplin County Health Department, I was not considered to be an essential frontline worker, resulting in the $1,500 bonus. I do not have a healthcare job description, but my work as an administrative assistant did not mean that I only sat at my desk and pushed papers all day without public contact for the last 17 months. I actively worked every single testing vaccine event held in this county by the health department, and if I was not physically present, I had a hand in the preparation of each event. I, along with my clerical staff, stood in the windows of vehicles, at the registration tables, inside the jail, at the churches and schools, and in the parking lot of the health department, maintaining direct contact with each individual being tested or vaccinated. I can also attest to the number of hours this has taken away from my written duties established in my job description, as well as the personal time it has taken away from my family. This not only applies to myself, but to each of my clerical staff who have worked these COVID events or carried out other COVID-related job duties. Most of us have worked well over 80 hours every 2 weeks since this pandemic began. I may not be, by degree, the smartest person in this room, but I understand that the Office of State Personnel and the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services considers our staff to be critical public health care staff. I also understand, per the federal guidelines, that I, along with my public health clerical staff, are essential employees who have to be physically present in order for these patients to receive their COVID test and their COVID vaccines. I enjoy my job at Duplin County Health Department, and while these past months have been mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausting, I will continue to do my part to ensure the health and well-being of this county as a public health care worker. For me personally, this is not about the money. This is about recognizing the equal importance of every position within Duplin County Health Department, regardless of our job title. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the next speaker is Aura Valeda.
Good afternoon. I also
as well. Please state your name, please.
Oh. I didn't understand. I'm sorry. My name is Aura Villeda, and I work at the Duplin County Health Department. When first COVID started, my job title was a data processor number 4. And the only reason I'm telling you my job title is because I also was one that got the $1,500, even though I have worked COVID since the very beginning. Yes, I do not have any training in medical or background, but we were the ones that have done the testings. We've ran events. We've sat out there. We did the 900 doses at the event center and walked miles and miles. We've been out in the weather where it's really hot. We've been sweating in the summer. We've been out there when it's really cold. And for you not to recognize or to be acknowledged was very bad. We have people. I have a couple people that work with us that none of us have job descriptions, background. I'm sorry. Who was also with us was Maury Castillo, Simone Van, Rondell Branch, Samantha Kennedy, Luisa Mendieta, Sandra Mendieta, who have worked very hard to make all these events go smoothly. And for us to, and people that have never left their office or never even been outside to work or have anything to do with COVID, to have gotten the $2,500 was very, it was heartbreaking. It seems that we're not appreciated, then nothing that we've done was even recognized. And it's not about the money. It's just a simple fact that people that never did anything to earn this money didn't get it, and people who just sat in their office and got it. I don't believe that is fair, and I believe that should be fixed. And that you guys consider, like in prayer, he said that we should all be one unit. That's what we've been trying to work for, to be one unit and make our community look good, our Duplin community, and we didn't even get recognized for that. So I just hope you take that into consideration, that people that have actually worked very hard for this did not get what they deserved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That it?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anybody that failed to know we had a sign-up sheet? All right, we'll close public comment. Next item on the agenda is Mr. Branson.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I appear before you now to hear any road or highway concerns that members of the board or the general public may have so that I can convey those to the North Carolina Department of Transportation.
I have none.
I don't have anything.
I have one.
I don't know if this is a proper venue or not, but it's been brought to my attention, which after looking at it, I agree with it by more than one person. Exit 369 on I-40 has stoplights. I'm thinking of the correct exit for the 364, I can't remember.
Is it 364?
364, okay. The 385 is becoming comparable.
Okay.
And I'd like that to be addressed, if that's something that it's, people are waiting there for a long, long time, especially in the afternoons and weekends.
I will ask DOT if they can request a study to see if a stoplight is warranted.
Okay.
Commissioner
Thanks.
Thompson. Commissioner Dow, did you have anything tonight?
Just for them to follow up on previous concerns.
Now,
the same concerns, they've never done anything on some of them.
Which ones would that be? Because I've received emails from Mr. Rhodes at DOT saying they have addressed the concerns. So if you have...
I just go by there because some of the things I've addressed it several times and they just haven't done anything. So I just need to find out why.
Okay. Commissioner Branch.
Yes, sir. In regards to the Warsaw matter about the Piney Crest, I believe, road, can you give any updates in terms of what you've discovered as conversation with Mr. Sumlin, the mayor, as to what is taking place? What's the next steps? Is it funding? Just kind of some of the things so we can really, I can go back by there and share with the citizen, or they can hear the things that's actually taking place to make the drainage problem over there a little better.
Yes, sir, Commissioner Branch. I have spoken with Chris Rhodes out at DOT, and he said that they did make some repairs to Mr. Boykin's driveway on West Hill Street. He does have some more drainage issues that go down a town street beside his residence, which would be North Cross Street. And he has spoken to Representative, he being Mr. Rhodes at DOT, has spoken to the town maintenance in Warsaw and suggested to them that they maybe put some riprap along the ditch bank beside Mr. Boykin's house to try and stabilize the ditch bank. Also back up towards town between the First Baptist Church and Yancey Street, I believe it is, the DOT did some digging and repaired an old drop inlet and also installed a new drop inlet. And now they're going to continue to monitor the situation after we have heavy rains to see if that has indeed mitigated the flooding issues, and if not, they will try to take further actions.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, did any member of the general public have any road concerns that I can address at DOT? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Britson.
Yes, sir.
Now we'll go to item three. Melissa Kennedy, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The first thing is I need to request a public hearing in Glisson Township for Frederico Rangel, needing to name a lane at 740 Kinsey Mill Road for the October the 4th meeting.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to request that a public hearing be scheduled for October 4th, 2021 to receive public comments on a request from Francisco Regil to name a road lane at 740 Kinsey Mill Road, Mount Olive, North Carolina, Glisson Township.
I believe that's Juanita Hernandez Lane, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we had to do that here, too.
Juanita Hernandez.
Hernandez,
okay, excuse me, Lane, in accordance to the Duplin County address and then road name ordinance. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry.
Okay, this one's easier. Need to schedule one for Nicholas Walsh to name a lane at 238 Lester Houston Road, Pink Hill in the Limestone Township, and he has chosen Grand's Lane also at the October the 4th meeting.
Okay. I think I can do that one. I need a motion to approve the request that a public hearing be scheduled for October 4th, 2021 to receive public comment on a request from Nicholas Walsh to name a lane off of Lester Houston Road, Pink Hill, North Carolina, Limestone Township, Grand's Lane, in accordance with the Duplin County addressing and road naming ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor, any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry.
Now I'm holding a public hearing for Mr. Dwight Hill to name two lanes at the 600 block of Kinsey Mill Road, Mount Olive, in Woolscrape Township. The first proposed name would be Randall Hill Lane.
Do these separately or on here together?
Do you want to?
Just do them together.
Cool. And the second one is Montoria Lane.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the request. Okay, we've got to have a public hearing.
The public hearing first, Mr. Chairman.
We don't have to have a motion to open public hearing.
No, sir.
Okay. So at this time, any comments from the public? Hearing none, close the public hearing. Now I need a motion to.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion and a second to approve the request from Mr. Dwight Hill to name two lanes in the 600 block of Kinsey Mill Road, Mount Olive, North Carolina, in the Woodscrape Township, Randall Hill Lane and Montoria Lane, respectively, in accordance to the Duplin County address and road naming ordinance. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry.
Okay, and the last one is for Melvin Bostick in the 1300 block of South NC 50 Highway Magnolia in the Kingsville Township, and he has chosen Bostick Farm Lane.
Okay, open up for the public. Any comments from the public on naming this road? With none, I close the public hearing. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the request from Mr. Melvin Bostick Jr. to name a lane on the 1300 block of South NC 50 Highway, Magnolia, North Carolina, in the Kingsville Township, Bostick Lane, Bostick Farm Lane, in accordance with the Duplin County address and road naming ordinance. Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Melissa.
Next on the agenda is Elizabeth Stalls.
Hello.
Hello, good evening.
I am here this evening to request that two public hearings be called regarding the 2021 Community Development Block Grant Neighborhood Revitalization Application. I'm requesting the public hearings be held September 20th, and then the second one be held on October 4th.
Okay, I got a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing on September 20th, 2021 to receive public comment on proposed 2021 CDBG Neighborhood Application Activities, and a second public hearing on October 4th, 2021 to explain to the public the contents of the proposed 2021 CDBG-NR application. Comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, next on the agenda, item number 8, Angel Venicia.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm before you this morning or this afternoon to request to conduct a public hearing related to our fiscal year 23 grants, the administrative grant, as well as the capital in 5310.
She's actually conducting the public hearing now, Mr. Chairman. That's what she's going to do. No action has to be taken by the board tonight. She's just here to conduct a public hearing.
Okay, so at this point, we'll go into a public hearing. Any comments from the public?
Would this help that gentleman that I referred you to?
It will.
Hearing none, I close the public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Ms.
Next on the agenda is Mr. George Futrell.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board. I appear before you tonight to present change order number 3 for our industrial air park project that's going on at the airport. It is a net decrease of $12,700. It does increase the contract days by 85 days. This is a 100% state funded project, and the airport commission reviewed and approved this change order at their August 24th meeting. Would recommend your approval tonight.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion and a second to approve change order 3 for Dublin County Airport Capital Project number 7548, Air Park Hangar Complex Construction, and authorize the chairman to execute the change. Any comments? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Carry.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I request that you go into closed session now pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A3 for legal matters, 143-318-11A4 for economic development, 143-318-11A5 for possible acquisition of real property, and also 143-318-11A6 for personnel matters.
Hey, do I have a motion to go out of open and to close? Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. We are now going into closed session, folks. Thank you. Okay, we're back in open session. Item number 10, Ms. Carrie Shields.
Good evening. Carbon Cycle NC LLC, or Carbon Cycle North Carolina LLC, has begun construction of its renewable biogas production facility on 855 Penny Branch Road in Warsaw. To complete the wastewater upgrade required, Carbon Cycle North Carolina LLC has applied for a revolving loan from Duplin County. The revolving loan amount is $200,000 and will assist the company in making the necessary improvements to the town of Warsaw's wastewater treatment infrastructure. I am here tonight asking the Board of Commissioners to support the recommendation of the revolving loan committee and make the motion to approve the revolving loan in the amount of $200,000 to Carbon Cycle North Carolina LLC.
So moved.
Okay, I got a motion and a second to support the recommendation of the revolving loan committee and approve the revolving loan of $200,000 to Carbon Cycle North Carolina LLC. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item number 11.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have a recommended motion that I would like to put forth for the board's consideration. My recommendation is that we authorize the county manager to declare the Duff Creek community building property and associated tracts of land as surplus property and advertise the property electronically for sale on the county's website and also in the Duplin Times.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, I have a few announcements I would like to make the board aware of. The Veterans Museum, through Ms. Sarah Freeman, would like to thank the board for the recent donation to the Veterans Museum. They were very complimentary of you and your generosity to the museum. Also, I would like to make the board aware that the 101st Veterans Day celebration and parade will be held in Warsaw on November the 6th. And the board members have been invited to attend, and you will have reserved seating at the reviewing stand if you so desire. At 10 a.m., the VFW Memorial Service will be held. At 10:45 a.m., presentation of the Grand Marshal and recognition of state, county, and city officials. And 11 a.m., the flyover, parachute jump, and parade. So if any of the board members would like to attend to sit on a reviewing stand, I have an RSVP form for you. I'll be glad to fill that out on your behalf and send it in. So just get with me at some time after the meeting, and I will make sure that that happens for you. I also want to make the board aware to remind you that there will be a joint meeting with the Board of Trustees for James Brunt Community College and the Board of Commissioners on October the 5th. I believe that's a Tuesday morning at 7:30 a.m. It'll be held on campus at JSEC, as far as I know at the present time, but I will get back with Dr. Caraway to verify the particulars. But I wanted you to go ahead and get it on your calendars, because I know you're busy men. That's October the 5th at 7:30 a.m. Also wanted to make you aware that the Blue Brew and Q Festival will be held at the Event Center on Saturday, September the 18th. The Muscadine Festival will be held the next Saturday, September 25th. And the Duplin County Business Fair is scheduled to be held October 21st through 23rd at the Event Center. Those are all the announcements I have, Mr. Chairman.
I just want to make a couple comments.
Okay.
We were supposed to have Tracy come here after the Board of Education meeting to give us an update, but I imagine she's still over there, or they haven't had her come up yet. But the virus is steadily increasing. I went to a funeral today with Mr. Joshua Smith, and he died from COVID Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. So, and, you know, we had he had a pretty large funeral, but he died from COVID right here. So, the day that he was in the ICU, we had I think two people in ICU and had 10 to 12 members from the DSS. They were out due to coming in contact or having some time contact tracing with the health department. So it is rapid and increasing with the, and I'm sure it's going through the school system as well. So I just wanted to say that.
Also, I want to, and what Commissioner Dow was just speaking about, when we have a situation such as that with someone succumbing to COVID and then there's a cluster in the different departments, I know at the courthouse, just for you, Mr. Brinson, the courthouse, they have a cleaning process that takes place to kind of go through it and make sure everything's squared away before everybody come back in. That's a process that's in place. Is something like that, Commissioner Dow, Mr. Brinson, in place at Department of Social Service or the Health Department? Will they go in and clean that facility just for, you know, peace of mind to kind of work through the process?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Commissioner Branch. The Department of Social Services, we have a contract with an individual to go in and disinfect the facility, and that has resumed. They will be starting that either tonight or tomorrow. We signed the contract today. They do have a sprayer at DSS that we purchased for them some months ago. There's also a sprayer at the courthouse and one at the health department. If we have an exposure in one of our county departments, we send our housekeeping staff into those buildings or facilities to do a deep cleaning and a disinfecting. But I spoke with the health director in my office this afternoon for about 30, 45 minutes, and she tells me we do not have a cluster of cases in any county departments at this time. And she was going to be here tonight after she spoke at the Board of Education meeting. I believe she did come, but she may have had to leave again since we've gone a little bit long tonight.
Yeah, she. I was just texting with her. She, I guess she came back as we were going into closed session, and right. So she had to go home.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank yes. you for that response. That's, yes. that's helpful.
Yes, sir.
Is it something that we should step up and do as a, you know, because of the amount of breaks that's going around, should we do a disinfectant program before, I mean, just a whether we've done it every 2 weeks or monthly, whatever, just to show a bigger effort? Or do you think that would just be a waste?
I will investigate that with my housekeeping supervisor and see if she has the staff to do that in some of the smaller departments. But like I alluded to earlier, Mr. Chairman, it is already going to be resumed at DSS. It's being done at the health department, and it's being done at the courthouse daily. The jail has their own housekeeping staff in there. They're doing the best that they can. I can talk to Ms. Kenyon and see if she can send her staff into the smaller departments to do a deep cleaning on some type of rotation, and I'll report back to you on that.
Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I've noticed some larger counties, I don't think the Board of Commissioners has necessarily done it. I wanted us to keep our finger on the pulse a little bit in the next couple of weeks to reclean. If even the health directors themselves have done a mass mandate, not just for county departments, just countywide for any of yours. And I think that we should take a note of that. If the numbers don't get any better.
So Tracy and I, she sent it to me. They conducted a call on that. I think the school of government's who originated it last Friday. Huh? She and I both were on the call, and she actually called me today about it. There's a lot of health departments, like you said, that are doing it.
Sure.
And she, I think she wants to talk with her board about it. They're meeting Thursday night. Is that right, Davis?
Yes, and Mr. Garner actually sits on that board.
On the board, yeah. And so her plan, what she told me today was she was going to bring that up for discussion at that meeting on Thursday night.
Well, I just think it's something that, I mean, bigger counties are doing. I think it makes a lot of sense. I can personally say, and I don't know Joshua Smith. I totally don't know who he is, but I can say personally that for the first time in a year and a half since this has been going on, I know of people that are really struggling to live, frankly, and that's concerning to us all, I'm sure. So I don't. Unfortunately, this doesn't appear to be fading away the way we wanted it to. So I think we still have a duty as a board to make sure we can do all we can, try to save some people's lives if we can, or keep it healthy.
I totally agree with you, Commissioner Thompson. The more we can be proactive and do to alleviate these things from getting greater in spec, I think we should just do it. Go for it full force, because I don't know where those numbers are in terms of sending on paper, but I don't think it's going down. And what just took place this weekend in terms of the Labor Day holiday, the expert is saying that we can anticipate a bounce, and then more schools are opening up.
Well, it's
getting colder. Yeah, and that's something that Commissioner Edwards and I had talked about a while back, with the weather changing, having to be inside. It's just so many elements that's totally out of our control. So wherever there's an opportunity for us to act, I think we should just do the proactive thing to make sure that we're doing it.
I just don't see how we can tell a business how to run their own business. I mean, I can tell you the businesses now that if you require a mask mandate, you'll be able to walk in there without a mask. And I can tell you to some that won't let you in there right now without a mask. And that's just, I cannot, right now, personally, I don't see how I can tell business owner A, B, C, or D how to run their business. And they've got to do this, because who's going to enforce it? If it's not, who's going to enforce it?
My thoughts are, we get it in place, and cross that bridge once we get it in place.
Well, if you ain't got a plan to enforce it, there ain't no need to pass.
I think we have a plan. It's just in terms of us being collectively in agreement to push forward. Others are doing it.
I mean, I don't think that Wake County or Nahanno County has their sheriff's office going out arresting people because they let someone in their business without a mask on. It's just about, hey, here's what we're asking you to do. Here's what we're putting in an emergency health directive. And we're asking you to, in good faith, just like golf, keep your damn score correct. Keep your correct score. You do the right thing. Play by the rules. And these are the rules until we get over this pandemic. We're not going to say we're going to arrest you. I don't even think that's, I mean, Governor Cooper's mask mandate or the mandates from last year, he put in their sanctions, but I know of no one who ever got charged with violating any of those sanctions, nor did he have, in my opinion, any intent to do that. And I don't think these health directors or these county commissioner boards that are putting them in place now have probably thought about that either. They're just saying, hey, here's a directive we're asking you to do, and we're hoping that you join us in trying to save some people's lives. I am proud to say that the last few weeks in this county, I've noticed, without a directive, a stark contrast to what I noticed last summer at this time, or last fall at this time, with people defined and in your face pretty much. Here, we don't have a directive in place, and you still see it being followed a lot more than you did a year ago, and when the directive was in place. I just think it might be the right thing to do to look at that, or have our health director look at that, because I think it's the right thing to do. To me, it's not about enforcing, it's just having a policy in place, a directive in place, and hope that people follow the rules.
Yeah, because most people want to do right. They just need to have the sign telling them what right is, and they're conform. And like you just said, in terms of just moving around a little bit, I did move around. I've seen more people wearing their masks. I think they're hearing the same things that everybody else is hearing about what's going on, and just like what Mr. Brinson told us earlier, when it starts impacting people that you do know and that you do see, it just has it's still the same virus, but it has a different feel to those that can see it for themselves. And again, we just got to do all that we can do to help the big picture, not trying to infringe on anyone's rights. But by the same token, it's the right thing to do things that's going to help others have that's the right. best option that they can at a fruitful and vibrant life. And that's all that is about for me and that all that's the intentions.
Selfishly, I hate these masks with passion. And selfishly, I run my own business, and my policy at my business is you're wearing a mask unless you're vaccinated. But if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And people know that and they come to my door. And you know what? That's fine. But I think that's a harder directive to implement as county leaders. I don't think the health director is going to say, or the opinion board is going to say, at this point at least, I think it might be coming to that sooner or later, you know, wear your mask before proof of vaccination. But right now, I run my own business and I can call the rules, and that's my rule.
Right.
Well, to me, as long as you're making recommendations that would you perceive would help prevent pandemic, you really don't have to have an enforcement plan.
Right. That's right.
Because you didn't mandate it, you made a recommendation.
Right.
Now, once you mandate something, then what's the alternative, as Commissioner Garner said? But as long as we're making recommendations, you don't have to have
a look at our
punishment program.
Our peer counties have put in these directions and see what their enforcement policies are. And like I said, I can go up North Hills tomorrow, or I can go to Mayfair, and there's these directives put in by the counties. And you know what? People are just following. It's not a big deal. They're just doing it. There's nobody yelling at each other. They're not slapping each other in the face. They're not threatening. They're just doing it. You know, it's just because it's the right thing to do. And you know what? It was implemented by the counties. It wasn't implemented out by a governor or a president. It's just implemented by the counties. And people are saying, all right, well, this is what we're supposed to do, so let's do it. It's really simple. I mean, it really is. It's really not complicated.
Well, I went up to the ball game last Thursday night.
And they won't warn hardly nobody.
And there was less than 10% that was wearing masks going in.
Well,
and what I was told is it was, you know, you had to have masks going in and coming out, but it was not by any means being
followed. And that was outside, and that was where it was. So I'll be going up to a game this Saturday night, and I know what their policies are, and I'll be wearing my mask.
Yes, you got to.
Weakness will prevail.
We'll see. In all situations, some people are going to do the right thing and going to have those that's just going to do their own thing, unfortunately. But as leaders, we continue to lead by example, being proactive and landing out there for those that just need that nudge and that guidance to do the right thing. Right. And we're going to get through this. I think once we can get through this thing and the numbers start going down, I mean, this mask is challenging for me, but you're taking on responsibilities to emulate that which is right. So let's just do it and get through it, and then we all can say, man, we made it.
Right. And we wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't a public health issue. So that's where I look at it. You know, I don't like wearing a mask either, but, you know, but I got grandchildren and a wife at home, and I've got an immunocompromised father, and, you know, I just wear it just for safety reasons. So that I don't give it to him or he gives it to me by happenstance. But just follow the rules and just lead by example. That's what I think we ought to do as far as being the commissioner. I talked to a gentleman today that's in a position where he needs to be wearing the mask, and he basically told me, we're gonna get it anyway. You might as well wait and see. But the position that he was in, he shouldn't have told me that, but, and I won't mention his name, but he did, you know, for him to have an attitude like that, it's his choice, but, you know, I just thought better of some people, you know, we need to try to do
it. And just think of it too, the unvaccinated, the situation that we're hearing about, people that they can't be seen in the emergency rooms, they can't get to a doctor because of the unvaccinated that's in the facility, and they made a conscientious choice not to be vaccinated, but there's no room for those who need it. And there's more going on than just COVID.
Right.
Wrecks and other sicknesses and things. And you can't get treatment.
My father was I had to take him to the emergency room last week, and they needed to transfer him to another hospital to get a room. They couldn't find a room at first. And then they found one. I don't know what the circumstances was, but they found one, but it was hard to get him in for medical treatment. So, you know, you have people, you know, just like, and I can give you an example from Sampson County, I think. They had 100 people that had COVID and 99 was unvaccinated.
Say that again, though.
They had like 100 patients.
This was Sampson County?
Yeah, and see, right now they're at 150%. They don't have beds or anything like that, but 99 people out of 100 was unvaccinated that was in the hospital. So, you know, and I think everybody ought to have their own choice, but what we're facing now, we just need to look out for each other. And I'm going to do my part to look out for the other person. Hopefully they do the same for me. If we don't have any other business, I'm going to make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Until the next meeting.
Okay, I got a motion and a second that we adjourn to Monday night, September 20th, 6 o'clock p.m. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor, rise. Meeting adjourned.